You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. Live radio, news, financial talk. Our purpose here, maybe perhaps try real hard to help improve your financial decisions. Financial advisor, CEO, founder, money manager over at Gregory Ricks and Associates of Total Wealth Authority. Radio show host, nights and weekends. If you'd like to join the conversation, phone lines up. Awesome. So they're turned on. The number is 504-260-0995. You can join the conversation. Maybe it's about your 401k. The tax change is coming. The debt ceiling done. It's on life support now. And inflation, interest rates going up in the future. Taxes going up. Ding. That's what's happening. What about Social Security? Yeah, it's been out of money. Doesn't mean you still shouldn't make good decisions with it. What would you like to talk about? Maybe paying off that mortgage early? 504-260-0995. Listen to us through the Winning at Life app. You can text, email, call the show. We're over on Facebook Live, and you can watch the show now, catch the replay later, and check out through the Winning at Life app or gregoryricks.com about the Ask Gregory podcast. Hey, James.
Hey, Gregory. Tell them about the pop-up event. Does everyone know what a pop-up event is?
Well, they're going to learn now.
Okay, good.
If they don't. And it's kind of, I decide some information needs to get out. I tell my staff, we're having a pop-up event. They're like, what? Yeah, we're having an event next week. Well, it's this week now because I want to get people in. And basically, the focus is on our clients to get them in to talk about the upgrade to the Guided Planning System website, that portal they have access to. We're doing some really cool new stuff with that. More access, more information, and we're adding number one. Number two, we're going to discuss at the pop-up event, and that's a wine wisdom pop-up event, meaning it's short notice. We didn't plan this out a month ago or anything. We're having it Thursday at 1:30 and 5:30. Number two, we're talking about tax efficiency. We have added some tax efficient models, or you could say tax free models, to our investment strategies. We're really excited about those offerings to clients and to the public as well. And I say this is centric to clients, but gosh, if somebody's not working with us, they probably are going to be jealous of that portal that we're upgrading. Second, they probably need tax efficiency or the strategies, and we've got a number of ways of hunting you tax efficiency. And number three, what if we had a Black Swan event again? You know, like last March, remember that? The Great Recession, you know, where the market drops dramatically over a short period of time. Would you like to minimize exposure to that? That's where we have that's going to be topic number three, where we talk about our tactical strategies, which has Black Swan protection, but also it follows momentum, meaning when money needs to move, it moves. It's one of the asset classes we promote now as well. We kind of did it as an overall theme, but now we've separated it out as an asset class. And simply to find out more about this, call the office 504-832-9200. Go to gregoryricks.com. Once again, that number is 504-832-9200.
All right. Do the location.
Oh, that's going to be in Metairie, Louisiana. It's at the event room next, you know, in the building we're in over in Metairie on 2800 Veterans Memorial Boulevard, our off suites 170. There's an event center next door, and that's where we'll be holding that Thursday at 1:30 and 5:30. It's 1 hour tops, 1 hour, no more, not a minute more, maybe less. Probably less. I can get this information out pretty quick.
Can non-clients attend?
They can.
All right. So sign up gregoryricks.com or call the office 504-832-9200. I know it's your real specific. This is just a wine and wisdom event. I didn't hear the word food.
No food. Well, you know, wine and wisdom. We'll have some wine, snacks, and water, probably some sodas, stuff like that. I don't drink sodas.
Doesn't have to be wine, but yeah.
Water or wine. But,
all right.
But yeah, we'll have something for you to munch on and share a glass of wine with you or another soda or something or
so this tea. This is different than the Wine Wisdom and Food experiences. Those are coming up in October. You got one October 13th in Madisonville. You got two coming up in Baton Rouge, October 26th and 28th. I know that sounds like it's way far away, but that's less than a month, y'all. It is. It's this.
Well, I have to tell you, we're at September 27th. If you hadn't looked up, this year's about done. We got a quarter left in the year. There's a lot happening and a lot you need to start strategizing forward on. You know, it's one thing to look at the past, how we did. Big discussion is what are we doing going forward? And that's what we're about. What are we doing going forward? Need more tax strategies, more tax efficiency, more information on what's going on, and knowing they're going to dial back. They said they're going to taper. What do you think the market's going to do? Just love it? No. Then next, what follows tapering? Interest rate hikes. What has historically happened to the market when he does that? It has convulsions, is one way to describe it. Yeah, it has this downward tendency. Are you positioned for what's coming? And then, of course, the unknown, you know, the stuff you can't predict. Are you positioned for that? So, yeah.
All right, you want to take this call?
Absolutely.
Monica and Cutoff, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, talking to Gregory, James, and Wes Blanchard. How can we help you, Monica?
Okay, I was wondering, I'm collecting a widow's pension, and I just recently retired, and my retirement check is less than what I would normally be making if I was still working. How much of a, I guess, penalty or whatever they're going to charge me on my retirement check for collecting widow's pension?
Okay. What is your age now, Monica? That would help
me. I'm 60.
60. So you're talking about the widow's pension, which you're talking about Social Security, or this yes. is from an employer?
No, this is Social Security.
Okay. So you just start, if you're age 60, you just started that then?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're also retiring from your job. What type of work were you doing?
I worked for the school board in cafeteria work.
Okay. So you were you worked for the state and you were a part of the state retirement program?
Yeah.
How many years did you do that, Monica?
14.38 years.
Okay. And you worked in the private sector outside of that for another 14, 20 years or so?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to, what's going to happen, and now have you actually turned on that pension, that state pension?
I do collect widow's pay right now.
Okay. I'm talking about from your job, that pension. Do you have a pension coming from that?
I haven't gotten my first check yet, but I'm being told that they're going to take a percentage away from my widow's pension now that, I'll be collecting this, which is less than I was making when I was working. I actually would have to take my retirement check and more money to pay my insurance, to keep my insurance.
Yeah, you are going to be impacted once you turn that on. It's going to reduce the widow's benefit. Not completely, but it is going to affect some of that income.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I was just checking to see to make sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Even if it's a smaller amount than what I was usually making, working.
To answer that, I'm not going to give her an exact number. There's an impact. The windfall elimination provision is a reduction to an individual's own Social Security benefit and applies to individuals who have a pension from work that they did not pay Social Security tax. The correct proration of a pension is also important to calculating the impact of the windfall elimination provision. This is especially critical for individuals who have more covered years than they do non-covered years. Non-covered is no Social Security participation. So that caller had both. And actually, I'm looking here at a case that we don't have time to cover, but one of the provisions in the windfall elimination provision is the windfall elimination provision guarantee, which limits your pension to no more than one half of your non-covered pension. And so we'd actually have to get down and break down more numbers, but other part of Social Security formula is there's three tiers. The first tier is the first $960. The max penalty on that is 40% of that. So there's a couple of things that's in her answer because she worked 14 and a half years for the state. So those are non-covered years. Her other work years, covered years. So she's not going to be fully penalized. And once again, you can go to socialsecurity.gov and there is calculators there, but you can also talk to Social Security about this on how the impact of that actually will impact you. And if you need some more help on that, and we can drill down, we could actually work through the math of this and help you have a better understanding that it will be impacted, but it's going to be a limitation of how much, subject to the proration and the guarantee that's built in to where it doesn't wipe out your survivor benefit either. So my office number for those listening that want to talk, reach out to Wes or I. That office number, one number for all, or like Social Security questions, windfall elimination provision, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. Hey, how about three Social Security do-overs? Mary Beth Franklin, I've got this piece from her over at Investment News. She's talking about some strategies that can be helpful for clients who have regrets over the timing of their Social Security decision. They claimed early rather than holding out for a bigger check or waited longer than necessary. This could be solving regrets of waiting too long to start it. And she kind of references there's three do-overs that an individual can use to change Social Security claiming decision after the fact. Each has specific rules. The strategies have sparked renewed interest in the wake of the COVID pandemic, she says. First do-over involves withdrawing an application for Social Security benefits. Anyone can withdraw their application in the first 12 months of claiming the benefits by filing, and we've not talked about this before, filing Form 521.
Is this the Mulligan form?
It's SSA 521, request for withdrawal of application. So there's an actual form. If you're in the first, it's a two-page form, and half of the second page is a lot of room for additional remarks, and the back half is a privacy statement takes up the other half. So really, it's just a one-page document. Thank goodness you can sign on the first page too. But it's two pages here, but it's really a one-page form to undo that Social Security decision. So Form 521 is the document.
Is this one of these things where you have to give the money back?
Yeah. It's kind of the give the money back. Yeah. And that's a good question because she notes here, but there's a catch. You must repay any benefits that you have received, including those of any family members who have been collecting benefits on your earnings record, such as a spouse or minor child. Wow. That could get, yeah, could add up. You can only withdraw your application for the benefits once, but you can apply for benefits again later when the monthly amount would be larger. So another option would be if you're repaying Social Security benefits would create a financial hardship, there's another do-over option. This is easier. You don't have to pay back, but an individual must wait until he or she reaches full retirement age or later. At that point, a client can suspend his or her Social Security benefit. The good news is people who suspend their benefits do not have to repay anything. The bad news is their monthly Social Security benefits stop, and so does those of any dependent family members, except a divorced spouse. Remember, you only have to be eligible to turn it on. A divorced spouse, if they're of age, can draw off of your record. as long as you were eligible to draw Social Security benefits. During the suspension, benefits earned delayed retirement credits of 2/3 of 1% for a total of 8% per year. Suspended benefits would automatically resume. So if you suspend, they will restart at age 70. So a little bit of help there. And then there's one other. The third option involves requesting a lump sum. This is where you're like, you know, we should have started that thing months ago. We should have started it months ago. Let's start it. Start it now. Well, you can go back six months retroactive. You must be a full retirement age or older to request a lump sum payout, and retroactive benefits cannot begin before full retirement age. Let me throw something else in there. If you had made a request of interest in starting your benefits, but not, and you're before age or full retirement age, because you made a request, that can set a date of where it can go back up to 6 months and start it. Like you call and inquire, I'm thinking about starting my benefits. Should I start benefits? I don't know. I'd like to, but I can't decide today. And a couple months later, you think, you know what? I'm starting. You call them back up. Yeah, you can start on that date you first inquired about it.
Get a couple extra months maybe.
Yeah, get a few extra months in that situation. And that goes for any age, that if you make that inquiry there. But you can't just out the blue, yeah, I want to start 6 months back. If you're under FRA, you just can't call up and say, yeah, I want 6 months ago. Not happening.
All right. You don't get a whole lot of do-overs out of the government.
No, there's not much do-overs anymore. What's interesting is the suspension gives you some benefit growth without having to pay it back.
And that's for if you retired, then somebody came and they gave you an offer you can't refuse and you had to go back to work because it was just too much. You didn't need it. Might as well suspend it and let it grow.
Yeah. Once again, covering that during the suspension, benefits earn delayed retirement credits of 2/3 of 1% per month. That's about 8% a year up to age 70. Suspended benefits, you get this, and we had somebody call about this. Like, I was wanting to restarted at 70 and a half, and I think it was somebody that suspended, and they wanted it to start it. No, it was file and suspend, so the spouse could turn on because they were born before 51. They could do that. I'm sorry, before January 1 of 1954. So they were wanting to do the file and suspend and then turn it on at 70 and a half because they wanted to get the 6 months delayed, you know. They like saving giving somebody else their money to use for 6 months and get it returned later for 0%.
It's a weird hobby.
That's kind of what they were doing. But the thing is, if you've previously turned it on, suspended it, or happened to have been one of those in the past to do file and suspend, it's automatically turning on at age 70. So you can't mess that up. See, they help you out that way.
And it should. That's where it maxes out. There's no real benefit.
There is no benefit in delaying beyond age 70 for anybody.
You're just doing
Would you save money at 0%?
You know, Social Security comes up so much on this show. There, on the news blog, the last article that was put up at GregoryRicks.com is Social Security related. Why do we spend so much time talking about that on this show?
Because almost everyone has it as a benefit or their spouse, and decisions can be really expensive. You know, if you're making a $20,000 a year decision turning on Social Security, I always look at it from I don't take and run, well, what's your life expectancy and multiply it out that way to see what the benefit is. I look at it more so, what amount of assets at 4% would it take to generate that income? And I take it as a $500,000 decision based on, say, $20,000 in annual Social Security income. So husband and wife getting 40, it's $1 million decision you're making there. This is something not to take lightly whatsoever. And then you have one of you will outlive the other. So that's a continuation of the larger benefit, but the smaller benefit goes away. How are you going to deal with spousal benefits? Then widow's benefits. All those are really big decisions. And you're locking in a reduction for life if you turn it on before FRA. It's kind of debatable. Do you wait to age 70? It's not a certainty, and it doesn't always apply. You know, they always say if you love your spouse, you'll defer. Well, to an extent, but that's not an absolute. And for some people, they should be turning it on. But FRA, your full retirement age, is the most important number, and planning needs to be done. It is a giant decision.
Yeah, it's only supposed to replace 40% of your pre-retirement income, but what is it, more than half of the people, this is their primary source of income in retirement?
Yeah, definitely half of retirees are very dependent on it. The other half of those, it's part of it. For most people, even if they did save, it's a part of the equation. That couple grand a month or 4,000 a month or five they're getting household is an important part of that equation.
In this article that's on the news blog at GregoryRicks.com, The Motley Fool, it has a pretty sobering set of statistics where even though Social Security might get the biggest cost of living adjustment since 1983 this year, a big chunk of that's going to be eaten up by the jump in Medicare premiums and actual inflation itself. So don't be expecting a whole lot of help once Social Security gets turned on.
Well, you will see the dollars hit your account, but things are costing more, and you're going to be appreciative of getting that increase.
And just a reminder, if someone who's not a client calls your office and has a Social Security question, y'all will just, as a community service, do what you can to give them an answer.
Don't have to be a client to get help. We're there to give help.
That's a nice little something you do for the community. But, you know, you say the community. Who says this? Limited to the community. You can call from anywhere. And how many stations are we on right now? And how far does this reach? Yeah, you can call from Daphne, Alabama. That's fine. Or you can call if you're listening on the iHeartRadio app in Alaska. You can call. It's same Social Security y'all got up there that we have down here. So take advantage of that, people. Call Gregory at his office for those questions.
Area 51, we'll take calls from them too.
Oh, definitely. You get moved to the front of the line because we have some questions for you. 504-832-9200 is Gregory at his office. 504-832-9200. You don't have to wait till office hours. There's someone that answers the phone after hours as well. Then I'd just like to stress, when we say end of year financial planning, we're not saying the things you need to do the last week of December. We're talking about the things we need to do as we're, you know, rolling right up into the last quarter here. So end of year planning, this is not like December 31st planning or December 30th planning. This is way before that.
End of year financial planning. Barry Rabinowitz helped us out this over at Money Tips. He starts with number one, get a head start on organizing your financial records. This could involve downloading your online account statements, gathering all your personal income records into one place. You know, this pile of receipts and papers you've had kind of in a box over in the corner, you know, your tax people don't like seeing that walk in the door that way. You know, organize it. Be cool to put everything you need to give them on a thumb drive, but you need to sort through it and have it organized and then your other documents pulled together. And one of the things is when you start looking at stuff, you might spot things like, why is that on my statement? Where did that come from? I need to turn that off. Organization can actually save you money as well. Wouldn't you think so, James?
Oh, absolutely. And they'll be nice about it. And they'll say, oh, we don't mind if you just bring in a shoebox full of loose receipts and papers. But you know they care. And you know it'll help the process if you streamline it a little bit yourself.
Hey, it'll say a lot about you if you come in there organized out there and keep up with this as you go. So it's going to make for better life and save you money. They'll probably charge you more if there are all those papers you bring in there. Number two, review your taxable investment accounts for gains or losses. If you have losses, take advantage of the government subsidy by selling the losers. You get to reduce any capital gains for the year by the losses. And if you have remaining net losses, they can be used to reduce taxable income by up to $3,000. But be careful. You must wait 30 days after the sale to buy back the same or substantially identical security if you want to take a loss for that year. You know, I've helped a number of people over the years. It's like, you know, I like buying, but I hate selling.
Really?
Individual tell me that years ago. I said, well, we can help you with that. Clean up those losers and take advantage of the loss, because it can offset some of those winners that you need to take profits on as well. And, you know, it's kind of like out with the old, out with those old losers. So take a look at what's going on in your accounts or get a review. And you know what the most important part of a review is the strategy session going forward. You know, it almost should be, what have you done for me lately? You know, what are we improving upon? Think about that. Number three, find out how much you have contributed to your retirement plan and how much you can still contribute. You know, that's been adjusted up over the years. And there may be opportunities in your 401k to get more money. Did you turn 50 this year and become eligible for the catch-up in your Roth, your IRA, your 401k? And there may be opportunities there, like in that, I'll just refer to it as the mega 401k opportunities that could be going away out there with what the tax changes that are proposed. So I think it's very important you review that. Now, the other side of it, could you have contributed too much? Maybe you got a raise and didn't change a percentage. Now, could it be overfunded? Your 401k, that is. So that's another reason to look at that also. But darn, one of the things for looking at it, I just want to add this other thing in. Let's get some more into that. That's one of the things to look at. You know, first off, are you doing it if it's available? Secondly, you have to do it if there's a match. Get that match and let's get some more money into that account. Number four, check on your emergency fund. You know, that's that actually, number four should have been at the top of the list, actually.
If you were writing the list, that would have been first.
Yeah, if I was writing the list, that had been number one. Check on the status of your emergency fund. How is it doing? Did it grow? That's probably a plus. Generally, those don't get, oh my gosh, I got so much money in my emergency fund. Well, you have to have a pretty good bit to get me to say that in that case. But check on it. Make sure it's adequate, or how do you catch it up to where it was? Could have been some emergency or something that dinged it. How do we fix that? Number five, it's almost where we it ties into two and three, but on his list here, he says, review your financial plan. Okay. Yeah. Review it, but I'm sure it needs to be adjusted or tweaked. I always say, you know, and one reason I've been one that's not I'm on both sides of that. I'm not such a great fan of it. Like, oh, now I've got a financial plan, I'm done. No, that's just getting you started. It takes ongoing tweaks going forward, whether it's adjusting your emergency fund, more savings, or goals changing, markets ups and downs. So you go and review it, but really what you should be looking for is a strategy session about what to do going forward. What can we do to improve? What can we do to create tax efficiencies? Number six, review your insurance coverage. I talked about this a few weeks back, and this is something I started doing with my insurance guy on personal and business a few years ago. And one of the things was to review, talk about what we have in place coverage, but what am I missing? What are my gaps? Where do you think I have exposure at and why? And how does that work? What if something happened? How would I get paid? That's what I'm looking for, is the gaps in my coverage. So once again, it should be review/strategy session regarding your insurance coverage. So this could be your property and casualty, your life insurance, your, homeowners, auto. You just had a hurricane season still going. Not that you probably can tweak that at this time, but you should be thinking about that. So whether it's your cars, your ski boats, your houseboat, your jet boat. Yeah, I'm trying to get all these boat phrases in there. And your race car, your two-wheeler. You know, whatever you've got, you know, that cabin down on the bayou, they call those camps.
Well, we also hear the people that call in and they're like, should I still have life insurance? My kids are all grown. Yeah, my house is paid for. Life insurance. Pretty well set. Yeah.
Okay. So the various types of insurance. So look over your estate planning documents. Once again, I think it should be looked at. Has there been life changes that would impact that? Is what you need to be concerned about, or you've put off doing some things. Maybe it's time to move forward. Number eight, last one. Do you have required minimum distributions due? Where are you? Don't wait to December to do those. And remember, you have to have that check cash for that RMD for it to count this year. It has to be received and deposited in your account before December 31st.
Sean and Lou Ling, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Sean?
Yeah, so I was calling with a question. I have, I'm 46 years old. I would like to retire about 52 to 55. I have a large amount of money in my 401k. However, the money is all pre-tax. I do have additional income that I could contribute, and I was wondering if y'all would suggest putting in a Roth 401k, which my plan offers, or doing a traditional and then back, you know, doing a backdoor method to a Roth, or just do the 401k Roth.
What is your age again, Sean? You said you're in your 40s?
Yes, sir, 46.
46. And about how much income annually?
Annually, about 150.
Okay, so that's a little bit of help there on that. Now, have you been putting money? Just, go ahead.
Yeah, and just so you know, I do max out the 19.5. I do max out the federal limits in my 401k.
Okay, so you're getting in 19.5 a year into the 401k? Awesome. That's a rare thing. Congratulations on that. And you are married, correct?
No, divorced.
Divorced. Okay, so one of your issues there on Roth contributions is the phase out because of your income. You reach the phase out, so you can't contribute to a Roth IRA. Do you have an IRA outside of your 401k?
No, I do not. Now, my parents did, which one recently passed, so I will, I guess, inherit a portion of an IRA from my mother.
Okay. Inherited IRA. One of the things is the backdoor Roth, and you mentioned that, and that's a possibility for you. And one of the things to look at on that is, and for the listeners to understand what that is, when somebody's reached the phase-out limits on contributions, meaning you reach an income level that you can't contribute to a Roth IRA, you can, in that case, do a contribution to a traditional IRA and then do a Roth conversion, because there's no income limits on Roth conversion. So, for example, he could add $6,000 a year to that each year and then convert it, essentially a matter of days later after that. One of your big opportunities, Sean, is the 401k Roth. So, once again, have you been doing that, or what are you doing with your 401k presently?
No, everything in my 401k has been pre-taxed. I did not do anything with a Roth 401k.
Okay, so you know when you shift to that, that's going to impact you tax-wise from that standpoint, because those are going to be after-tax dollars going into that Roth, not pre-tax dollars. So you will see it impact your paycheck, so to speak, there. Now, if they're matching that, the matching will go into your traditional 401k in that case. What I like to get to is to where you have some sort of mix, and you're putting pretty good bit, and it's really tax efficient because it's going in pre-tax, and that's a great benefit of the 401k. One of the things I would look at is getting some Roth into that mix, because I always look at it, we have three tax worlds. We have that pre-tax money, which is a great way to grow an account. And Uncle Sam helps you there because you're not being taxed on that money that's going in, and the growth is tax deferred, except you're going to pay ordinary income taxes later when you start taking distributions. And I see a lot of the time, Sean, that a lot of people out there, that's where most of their money is. So it's really difficult to have tax efficiency when you're distributing that, and it's all going to be taxed as ordinary income. So the other opportunity would be, can you get money into the Roth, and how and what ways can we do that, and how much can you withstand doing that? Because it's saving money after tax, You have to leave it there for at least 5 years and beyond age 59 and a half for it to come out tax-free. Your other area, and once again, you've got pretty good income there. So what are you saving outside of those plans? So do you have any after-tax accounts? Are you doing it tax-deferred or getting a step-up basis, meaning paying the taxes as you go each year on some after-tax savings or investments? And what I try to find is get balance between all three of those tax worlds. So when you are taking distribution, you're not being fully taxed on every dollar that you are taking out. So I would get some of that. I think I would get some of that 401k in the Roth.
Okay. Now, would you recommend, if I can, which, you know, I have some money on the outside, just, you know, invested in a stock market, plus I have some money in the savings. I also have some rental property. But what if could I leave, continue to put 19.5 in my 401k pre-tax and then put like maybe another $300 to $400 to $500 of money? I mean, $300 to $400 to $500 a month into the Roth 401k on top of the 19.5 that I'm already doing, if I can afford that?
Nope, you're on your maximum contribution limit at 19.5. When you reach age 50, you have 60, based on present law, the catch-up provision is another $6,500. So you're having to do that mix based upon that max contribution limit of 19.5.
I thought the 19.5 was only for pre-tax. I thought you could put more than 19.5 in the 401k.
Employee salary deferral limits. I don't see that you can't, I don't see that separated out on that from the rules there. You have that 19.5 as your retirement plan contribution limits.
Okay, regardless of pre-tax or after-tax.
Correct. And that's okay. How they structure the plan rules. But once again, you could do the backdoor Roth. Now, the other thing I would look up into being you kind of put out there that you're going to have an inherited account. And I would say I would have to double check that to make sure that's not a conflict for you on that regarding doing a backdoor Roth. I would have to double check on that just to make sure that this doesn't cause you any problems, because the backdoor Roth doesn't work if you have a traditional IRA account and doing a contribution okay. And trying to conversion. You essentially, the only reason you have a traditional IRA account and wanting to do a backdoor Roth is to make that contribution and do the conversion there in that case. So that's one of your opportunities, subject to if you inherit that money, and would that be a conflict on rule? I would have to double check on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like the only way I can increase my savings after taxes is cut back my pre-tax contribution into my 401k.
Well, you don't have to cut back what's going into the 401k. You just need to split some of that up into the mix of getting some pre-tax and some Roth money going. Outside of that, you're right. Wanting to save more. So here's another question I would ask you if we were sitting down and talking about this. How much could you save a month additionally besides what you're doing in your 401k?
I think additionally, at least probably $500 a month.
Okay. So, and that's one thing to look at, especially this process of this inherited money, what's the timeline of that?
It sounds like from the IRA, once we get all the paperwork straight, it's probably going to be about a month, maybe 2 months at the longest.
Okay, so that's right in front of you to have to deal with that.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be a conflict. I just have to double check on those. I just wouldn't want it to do something or recommend you do something and see that there's a conflict on that. And that's, you know, might be a reason to reach out to my office and double check with us on that, because I think based on what you're saying, you could save a month, you're really in a position to do the backdoor Roth. Might be one of your opportunities there based on, hey, I can save another $500 a month. And are you doing pretty right. good on your emergency savings? That's one of the core things.
Yeah, I have a good bit in emergency savings. So, you know, I do have some cash available in case something does happen.
Okay, awesome. All right, thanks for calling, Sean. Hopefully this helps you. And if you have some more questions, come to office. Yeah.
All right, thanks, Sean. I felt like we were kind of sitting in on a meeting there. Sometimes the show feels like I'm in the conference room just sitting in the corner and you guys are working through someone's actual financial plan. All right, here's another reminder about the pop-up events that are coming up. This is Gregory's first real pop-up events that are coming up, you say, on Thursday of this week?
Thursday at 1:30 and 5:30.
All right. This is for who? People that want to learn
well,
more about.
Well, we are focusing on clients, but we're talking about strategies going forward. First off is our new guided planning system portal. That upgrade, tax efficiency, tax savings, and our tactical strategies.
All right. If you want to contact Gregory about that event, the Wine, Wisdom, and Food events coming up in October, or you just want to ask him about money, call him at the office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered through AE Wealth Management, LLC. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for informational purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, legal advice, or tax advice. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. The information and opinions contained herein are provided by third parties and have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrency. The firm is not affiliated with the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The firm offers insurance services. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.